Good morning and welcome. Welcome to worship at the Vines United Church here in Woodcroft in South Australia. Whether you're here in the building, whether you're watching us online now, live, or later on during the week. We just pray that the Lord will bless you through this service, through the words and songs, and that we are used to worship our Lord and Creator today. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we invite you into our presence. You are welcome in this place. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." As we begin our time of worship, we release our cares and anything else that would hinder us from experiencing more of you in this service today. We focus our hearts and minds on you, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. Forgive us for having our minds set on other things and not giving you the honour you deserve. We gather to lift up the name of your Son Jesus, the name that is above every name. All glory belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is two verses. Well, it's actually three verses, but two readings. From John chapter 4, verse 23. "Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks." And from Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Please stand and join us.
One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give. Just as you are to worship, come, just as you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God, one day every knee will bow, still the greatest treasure remains. For those who gladly choose you now, come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Just as you are before your God, come, 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 come.
Please be seated. We're going to teach you a new song now. The song is called My God and King. And it's a very simple song. It's written in the form, a bit like a hymn. We're going to teach you the chorus first. So we're going to sing the chorus through twice. The words will be up on the screen for you. And then we're going to go into it and sing the whole thing. It's a song that I actually wrote, thanks to God's inspiration. It was the very first one I wrote. So I actually alluded to this a few weeks ago when I did my interview. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully it goes well. We've sung this once before at Hallett Cove Baptist Church with Bill and the group leading. So we'll see. The chorus goes like this. So I'll just play it through once and then we'll go through singing it. So the chorus is... So we'll play it through again, and we'll just get you to sing along with the words are up there. So we'll go through it twice, and then we'll go into the song proper. So here we go. On three. One, two, three.
Our God and King. Our God and King. You died for us, and now we sing.
So now we'll go through and sing the whole song through. We'll sing verse. It goes verse 1, verse 2, chorus, verse 3, chorus, verse, etc. When you feel confident to join in with the verses, please do. The verses are very simple, but we'll start off. So, ready? Here we go.
As we look upon the holy cross, on which the Lord and Savior died, we feel a sense of grief and loss, from which we cannot hide. Christ died to show He cared, freed us from a deep despair. He chose to bow His head, His blood He shed. Our God and King, our God and King, You died for us, and now we sing. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. There's a light that comes our heart and sets us free from the dark. Even the lost can now be found and hear this glorious sound. Our God. To the King of Kings. hope we know is meant for all. Jesus chose to obey the call. He died for you and me. He died to set us all free.
Time for a few notices. First of all, who knows what's happening in 6 weeks' time? And mark it. 6 weeks, so it's getting close really quickly. This is just a friendly reminder. Marge will eventually have some sort of list out there for people to sign and what they want to do and what they want to help with. But this is just a little friendly reminder that it is coming up, and it's coming up really quickly. You'd be surprised how fast. The closer you get to Christmas, the faster time goes, I find. It's, don't know why. The men's dinner group will be having their dinner this Wednesday night. We're going to the Cove Tavern, so over at Hallett Cove. So if you would like to join us, please get hold of Neville Hayward, and he will be able to make the booking and make adjustments accordingly. Some other short announcements. Vine's Creative Connection again starts this Thursday again, now that school goes back. That's from 9:30 till 11:30. And if you want to come in, it's a $4 fee, but it includes morning tea, all welcome, everything's provided for you. So when you come, it's great. It's a great time just to sit and relax and have a good cup of coffee as well. A bit like Friday Friends, but that's much later in the month. Circle of Friends this Tuesday. Well, 14th of October, yep, second Tuesday, which is this Tuesday. Yes, it is. From 1:30 to 3 o'clock here at the church. That's for any ladies that would like to come and have a cuppa and a chat. Seems like all we do at this church is have cuppas and chats, isn't it? It's a really friendly church. I love it. And the men's dinner group I've mentioned. We're going to bring up our offering. No other notices anyone would like to mention? No? We're going to bring up our offering now. Now, in the offering, we're going to sing the song Take My Life and Let It Be. And we're going to sing the first one through together. And then I'd like the ladies to sing the second verse and the men to sing the third verse. And then the rest of the songs we'll sing together. So, Take My Life and Let It Be. Please remain seated.
Let them move at the impulse.
Loving Father, we acknowledge that all we have comes from your provision. As we give these offerings, may they be multiplied for the advancement of your kingdom. Guide us in managing our finances and being generous in all areas of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Before I bring you prayer this morning, I'd just like to pass on from Malcolm his gratitude, Judy and Lynn and Elton as well, to pass on their sincere thanks for your prayers as they have battled with their health issues. They're all coming good. I had an email from Malcolm a couple of days ago with this request. Coming good, and at last Lynn has a diagnosis so they can begin to sort out how to treat her situation. Her kidney levels are still not good, but it's all in hand now. So he just asked me to pass that on to you, and I think we would all rejoice in that they are all coming good, and that Elton has been an absolute joy to them, and that's no surprise, is it? Like crawling up on the bed with Lynn and just lying beside her till Elton decides it's time to go. So there's some lovely little soft spots in what has been a really difficult time. So I invite you to join with me in prayers of intercession. O God of love, grant to your children the grace to represent you effectively in our discordant world. Our hearts ache as we day by day are made aware of the injustices and heartlessness which seems to define our world at this time. So often our hearts cry out, God, where, oh, where are you, as we view the devastation? But Lord God, we know you are in our world, you are in our very hearts, and you love us beyond all understanding. Your majesty is reflected in the beauty of your creation around us. But you do not impose upon us. You have given us free choice, and there are multitudes who do not acknowledge you or feel your concern, and who seem insensitive to the dreadful things which are happening, who think only of themselves and choose to ignore the situation of others. Please give us who proclaim your name the courage to put ourselves on the line to communicate life and truth to all who cross our path. Where there is injustice, may we be courageous enough to speak out. Where there is bigotry, teach us how to love as you love. Help us, O God, to become what you have appointed and empower us to become. Where there is darkness, may we become rays of your sun that banish the gloom from lonely lives. Where there is emptiness and drought, let us be like gentle showers that turn barren deserts into green meadows. Where there is ugliness and distortion, enable us to portray the beauty and order of your will and purposes. Thank you that those who focus their faith on you, who find their security in you, do not live in fear. They are not left untouched by the tempests of life. They may be wounded by the onslaughts of evil, but you have promised never to leave us to face these things alone. You are always ready to heal and restore. The glory is yours, O God, and we shall praise and celebrate your cause together. This is our promise, loving God. What our world needs now is love, and we thank you for those who put their lives at risk, even as they care for victims of bombs, drones, and other weapons. In countries ravaged by war, little remaining of the beauty that was before. Our hearts weep for tiny children starving to death and the helplessness of mothers and fathers who can do nothing to change it. Help us all, we pray, to see the world through your eyes and to do our bit wherever and however that might look. Help us to be bearers of your grace and compassion in a sad, sad world. We thank you that there seems to be some movement towards justice in Israel and Palestine, and we pray that peace may truly reign in those countries. They have such a long history of hate and violence. Please, Lord, soften hearts and bring your peace to bear that there might be change for good. We pray this indeed might be the start and that peace may come a reality in our time. We pray for all those in leadership positions across our country and our world. We would pray that they might lead with integrity and consider the needs of those who depend upon them for justice and indeed life, over and above power, prestige, and control. Lord, we are very conscious of those who struggle to put food on the table. In just a small way, our Pantry 152 offers a gift of love to those who are struggling to make ends meet. Thank you for the beautiful volunteers who greet them with a smile and provide a listening ear and a safe place and food to keep them going. Thank you for all who contribute to this ministry by their presence or by the generous gifts of food and money, which allows us to do this. May you continue to bless this ministry and all those who are part of it. Indeed, there are many people in all walks of life who volunteer in many ways, committed to making a difference to someone's life. We pray a blessing upon them as they seek to relieve the suffering of another. The needs in our world are vast and varied, so much to pray for and about, but we thank you, precious Lord, that you know what hearts are broken, what lives are in disarray, what dreams are gone, and you care about them. You invite people like us to be your presence in time of need. Help us, we pray, to reach out and honour your call in every circumstance we find ourselves. And now, Lord, we pray for those whom we personally know to be in difficult situations, challenges of health, relationships, and numerous other situations. We pray they might find the strength and courage to overcome the ravages of their circumstances and find your peace. And so we would pause now and silently lift them to God, who hears even the weakest cry. Thank you, gracious God. Please remind us again that there is light in this world, and the darkness can never extinguish it, and enable us to play our part. Community of Christ, who make the cross your own, live out the creed and risk your life for God alone. the God who wears your face, to whom all worlds belong, whose children are of every race and song. Let us now pray the prayer which Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. Paul in Corinth. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he found a Jew named Aquila from Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them. They worked together by trade. They were tent makers. Every Sabbath he would argue in the synagogue and would try to convince Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with proclaiming the word, testifying to the Jews that the Messiah was Jesus. When they opposed and reviled him, in protest he shook the dust from his clothes and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then he left the synagogue and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the official of the synagogue, became a believer in the Lord. Together with all his household and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul became believers and were baptized. One night, the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you to harm you. For there are many in this city who are my people." He stayed there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A wise teacher asked his students a question. If you're carrying a cup of coffee and someone bumps into you, why did you spill the coffee? And his students all said, "Because someone bumped into you." And he said, "No. The reason you spilled the coffee is because that is what you were carrying in your cup. If you were carrying water, you would have spilled water." And then he said something profound. He said, "Whenever life shakes you, whatever you're carrying is going to spill out. And so if you're carrying fear or jealousy or hate or anger or greed, that's what's going to spill out. But if you're carrying love or compassion, kindness, empathy, that's what you're going to spill out. So every day, you should pause and think to yourself, what am I carrying in my cup today?" Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. I was visiting a family once and the subject of flying in a glider came up. And I said I'd never done it, but I'd always wanted to. And the next thing I knew, we were off across the paddocks, taking the back route to where the local gliding club was operating, and soon I was being strapped into the front seat of a glider, ready to be winched into the air at a steep angle. There was no time to be afraid, and obviously I made it back safely. But I'm sure my heart rate was elevated as we took off. It's easy to say, do not be afraid. But it's not so easy to eliminate fear, is it? Some people hide their fear behind humour. The black humour of doctors and nurses and paramedics is a way of not letting fear control them in the middle of trauma. And adrenaline junkies who jump out of planes with or without a parachute, perhaps with a wingsuit, or racing car drivers, or members of the police and the armed forces, they must all have their hearts in their mouths at times, because they do scary things. And one of the ways that they cope with it is by repeating it lots of times, by desensitising themselves. And that's how they overcome their fears. But what about us? Most of us are not stand-up comics, nor are we adrenaline junkies prone to jumping out of planes or racing a car. But most of us experience fear at some time in our life. So what is it that raises anxiety and fear for you? Is it spiders? Sharks? Snakes? You can put your hand up when I get to one for you. Heights? Flying? Bill, yeah. Is it public speaking? I see those hands. For me, it's little white dogs that are not on a lead. It's a case of once bitten, twice shy, for me. Now, some fears and phobias are hard to overcome. Now, we can be paralysed by fear of something small like a mouse. And normally, mice are quite, they're afraid of us. But being afraid can be a good thing. Fear can be helpful in keeping us away from poisonous snakes. And even the non-poisonous varieties can be traumatising for us. And fear can also stop us from stepping off a tall building or running out in front of speeding cars. So humour and familiarity are ways that we can deal with our fears. But there's a better way. In Acts chapter 18, we read that, or heard that Paul has left Athens and he's gone to Corinth. And he's working as a tent maker during the week. And on the Sabbath, goes into the synagogue and he argues with the people, trying to convince them that Jesus is the Messiah. But while he was doing that, he was constantly being criticised and opposed and, as the word we heard, reviled. It's more than just opposed and criticised. It's being really put down. And we get the impression that for Paul, life wasn't easy at all. He knew what God had called him to do, and yet there was great opposition. And then one night, the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not be silent, for I am with you." Acts 18, verse 9. It's like the message that God gave Joshua after the death of Moses as he was about to lead the people across the River Jordan into the Promised Land. And God said four times in Joshua 1, "Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous." In other words, Don't be afraid, because God is with you. I'm with you. And it's the same message the Lord gave Paul. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. How reassuring that must have been. How comforting to know that he was to speak and not be silent. To not be afraid, because the Lord Jesus was with him. How many of you appreciate a word of encouragement? All of us, I reckon. When we face something scary, something that causes us to be afraid and anxious, worried, it's very helpful when someone we trust reassures us or reaches out a hand to help us and reminds us that you're not alone, you can do it. You will be, I'll be there. And that was Paul's experience. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. It's not hard to tell what this message is about, is it? Do not be afraid, for God is with us. It was obvious to Paul that Jesus was present with him, because he had that kind of relationship with Jesus that meant he fully trusted that whatever Jesus said, Jesus meant. And yet long after Paul's Damascus Road encounter with the risen Christ, after several years of travelling around, being a witness to Jesus, starting churches, encouraging new believers, Paul still needed that encouragement from the Lord. And it must have been beneficial, as verse 11 says in the passage we heard this morning. Paul stayed there for a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. It's like a small child who is learning to ride a bike. Can you all remember what that was like? Who's never ridden a bike? Okay, yeah. Most people do. And when you learn, especially if you're young, you know, you wobble and you waver. And yet knowing that there's a parent there holding them upright, it gives them courage to keep going until they finally discover that they can balance and ride without falling off. It's all because the parent says, "Don't be afraid, you can do it, I'm with you." It doesn't mean to say you don't fall off it sometimes, like when you're on a bike which has got your feet clipped into the pedals and you stop and you can't unclip your feet and you go plonk. That's embarrassing. It's not fearful. But you know, when you're learning to ride, you want someone there to help you. That's the message that we still appreciate hearing today. We are not alone, for the Lord is with you, with us. I am with you always. Even to the end of the age, is what it says in Matthew 28, verse 20. And that's tremendously encouraging, to know for certain that Jesus is real and he's always present with us. There's nothing that can happen that will cause us to be so afraid that we will lose our faith when we put that into practice. So this experience of Paul in Corinth is also a blessing for us, because it's Paul's witness in the face of difficulty that encourages us, particularly when we feel under attack ourselves for our Christian faith. For Paul did not continue his unsuccessful debates with the Jews in the synagogue. As we heard, what he did, he shook the dust off his clothes and went next door to preach good news to the Gentiles. How often, I wonder, do we face opposition and just give up? How often are we so intimidated by someone who is so vocal in their critical attack on us and so in our face that we cringe? And we withdraw and we curl up in fear. Sometimes literally it curled up in the fetal position. Now, these attacks happen in sport, they happen in politics, they even happen, believe it or not, in the church. And they happen in discussions that we have with others about our faith. The message that Paul received encouraged him to keep speaking, even though it was to another audience. And so when we're encouraged by the presence of a helper, a mentor or a guide, one who reassures us that, yes, you can do it, keep going, then it helps us to persist in the face of those personal attacks on us. Because the knowledge that we are not alone is often enough to help us keep going and not give up. Now, if you're standing out in the... On the pulpit, on your own, it's very lonely. But if you invite other people to stand there with you, that's much more comforting, isn't it? Of course, sometimes we need to lift our vision up. We need to see God's big picture, not just this small crowd of people who are in our face attacking us. We need to be people who still hear God's message that there are many in this city who are my people, as verse 10 in 1 Corinthians 18 says. They may not have known Jesus yet, but they were part of God's plan for Corinth. They were waiting for someone like Paul to tell them about Jesus, even if they didn't know that's what they were waiting for. And the thing is, this is as true for us in Woodcroft and Ranelagh and Happy Valley or wherever we happen to live as it was for Corinth. In other words, we need to be a people of hope, a people who are not overwhelmed with fear of the future and who are not afraid to invite friends and neighbours to hear the gospel. We're not worried about what they might say to us if we get to know them and tell them about Jesus, who loves them and us, loves us all. Remember what helped Paul to overcome the fear of his situation was that special relationship that he had developed with Jesus. His encounter on the Damascus Road was something he could look back on and know with great reassurance. But yes, Jesus was real. Jesus loved him. Jesus comforted him in difficult situations, like when he was harassed by hostile crowds, or in prison being whipped and beaten, or facing the challenge of sharing the gospel with unbelievers in Corinth. And that's something for us that we can hold on to too, because we can have a relationship with Jesus that allows us to have that same courage, that same confidence. And so when we face the difficult situations that cause us fear, whether that's the sight of a mouse or a spider, a snake or a potential terrorist attack or flying or a little white unrestrained dog, it helps when someone says to us, someone we trust says to us, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Because fear can overwhelm us when we're concerned about the future. Often we'd rather cling to the security of the past than risk going forward. And so today, new situations in our ministry with others can paralyse us with fear too. And we can remain afraid, hearing only those seven last words of the church: "We've never done it that way before." We've never done it that way before. Don't believe it. We can do new things. We need to hear again the same message that Paul heard: "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Because being faithful does involve a measure of uncertainty and risk. It involves taking a deep breath and stepping out with Jesus. For faith can be spelt R-I-S-K, risk. Do we dare to trust Jesus to take some risks for the sake of the gospel? Scary, isn't it? But we can do it. One of the personal situations that worries some people is death, or the lead up to it. And so as we get older, we worry about losing our independence, we fear losing our dignity, we're afraid that the end might be painful, or that we won't know people when dementia strikes us. I want to reassure you that the Lord's message to Paul is something that we can cling to still, even as we face getting older. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. It's a message of encouragement to us to know that we are not alone, even in the darkest of times. As Charles Dickens wrote in A Tale of Two Cities, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. In other words, it depends on our attitude, on what we're carrying in our cup. Because whether we think the future will be good or bad, you're probably right. If you expect life to be awful and depressing, probably will be. And on the other hand, if life is a new adventure, you know, where we jump into a glider with only a few minutes' notice, that will also be what we'll experience. Life will be good. It's not always true, but that's generally the case. And so for people who don't have a Christian faith with the hope of life after death, then death is bleak, black and scary, because for them it really is the end. There is no hope for them. But on the other hand, for believers like Paul who hear Jesus saying, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you," that's a message of hope. Hope that lasts both while we're alive and beyond. So what about you? Is there someone whose encouragement has helped you? Have you told them how much you appreciated their help? Or is there someone that you can encourage sometime this week? Perhaps there's a grandchild you can help to take another step towards achieving something great. Or someone else in whom you see potential and who might benefit from hearing your word of encouragement. Because you can be the voice of Jesus speaking an encouraging word into their lives, reminding them to do not be afraid, for I am with you. It's not just encouragement in faith that your words may be a blessing to them. It's also what they're carrying in their cup, how they use their gifts and abilities, their natural abilities and the skills that they're still developing. And that's true for all of us. And it's especially to do with the sharing of our Christian faith that we need to hear whispered into our ears those words that Paul heard. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Not me, Jesus. May this be the message you hear as we approach the future, which begins now. Do not be afraid, for I, Jesus, am with you. And may we always carry Jesus in our cup. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that by your presence our fears are overcome. Help us to journey together into our futures, not paralysed by fear, but being strong and courageous and sure of Christ's presence with us. To God be the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And just before we sing our last song, if something that Ian has said or anything that's been done during the service has stirred something up in you that you need prayer or whatever, there will be people available to pray after the service. Please, and if you are afraid of something, the best way to talk about it is to share it with someone, because then they can go through it with you and help you with this whole situation. So please, if there is something. When I heard what the sermon was going to be about, I thought there's only one possible song that we could sing at the end. Who knows what that could be? Fear Not. Come on, let's sing together the song Fear Not. Ready? One, two, three.
Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Fear not, for I am. Says the Lord, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, child, you are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be there, and through the flame, you'll not no way be drowned, you'll not no way be burned, for says the Lord. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, child, you are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be there, through the flame, you'll not no way be drowned, you'll not no way be burned, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Fear not.
We go from this place to share in fellowship, to be living signs of God's love for the world, and to be courageous witnesses to others that we are not afraid, because Jesus is always with us. And as we go, may we know that the blessing of God, the Father, the Creator, is with us. May we be nourished daily by Jesus, our Saviour. And may the fellowship and love of the Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us as we go. Amen.
My God and King, our God and King, you died for us and now we sing. You died for us, and now